Hello and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm joined by Nick.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me, Nick.
A pleasure.
We have just watched a movie. We watched it late and we're recording even later because we've been silly fools and it's been a wonderful time.
Like a silly goose. Geese.
Gooses, it all sounds good.
Geesen, moosen.
So we're going to try and get this as fast as we can so we're not recording until 2 a.m. However, this movie has a lot in it, so and we have a lot to say.
So many notes.
Oh, shit. Ooh. I'm going to get straight into it instead of my normal waffling on preamble. So we're doing a movie called Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
It's off to a good start, baby. So Jack Reacher is from 2012 and it was directed by Christopher McQuarrie. So Christopher McQuarrie did Mission Impossible Fallout and Rogue Nation. Like, he's got a really good relationship with Tom Cruise now, but this was their first film together. Not their best. I've said this a few times in the podcast where I just don't love this movie. And watching it with someone who seemed to feel the same way and we're picking on the same things, I'm like, it's not just me. Like, I know a lot of hardcore Tom Cruise fans fucking love this movie. Like,
really
love
though.
It. Rate it so high. And ooh. I'm like, ooh. I don't know why. Like, I think the second movie is better, but I still don't think it's great. We're going to get into all that. But yeah, just to let you know why we're paying out in it a lot, which I'm assuming is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's why. Okay, I'll quickly go through the characters. Pretty good cast. A lot of characters with forgettable names. So, like, we'll try and remind you of who everyone is as we go along. So, Jack Reacher is the title character, played by Tom Cruise. Helen Rodin is played by Rosamund Pike. She is a lawyer, works really closely with Jack Reacher. There's the DA, Rodin, who's her father, who is on the opposite side to her and a bit of a jerk to her. Emerson is a detective who is the thorn in Jack's side for a lot of the movie. Feel like shit, but I actually don't know how to pronounce the actor's name. It's David Oyelowo, I think his name is pronounced. I don't know. I'm really sorry. I don't know how to pronounce that name. There's a character called Charlie, played by Jai Courtney. There's Linksy, who's played by Michael Raymond James. Small role, but he kind of plays an integral part at one point. There is Sandy, who's played by Alexia Fast, and a character called Cash, played by Robert Duvall.
Unforgettable, that Cash. So.
And there's one more character. I kind of hate to reveal him because the punch that you get when you realize it's him in the movie is really intense, but there's a character called The Zek, and he's played by Werner Herzog. He is wonderful.
He's so good. Ooh, I want to dig in right now to that, but that's for later. That's a later cake.
I was about to do his voice. No, we'll bring it in. We all know what his voice sounds like. He, like, Werner Herzog's it up so ferociously. It rules. So this movie is set in Pittsburgh. It starts with a man pulling into, I guess, what looks like an old parking garage. And he's basically setting up a gun opposite a sports stadium. It's Jai Courtney, a.k.a. Charlie. And he's obviously there to cause some mischief.
This mischief gun.
There's mischief afoot.
Whoa. Give away my mischief gun.
Oh, shit. He looks through the viewfinder at various people and then he starts shooting randomly. We see him shoot 5 people.
He's a scamp, he is.
And what a mischievous scamp that man is. He zooms off in his van. We sort of see, like, how much evidence he kind of drops along the way. So you're already like, why are you revealing this killer to me so early on?
Pays for his parking. Big point with the parking.
Yes, big point. Pays for a quarter for his parking for half an hour.
A loony.
Isn't that the Canadian name?
Why did you say loony in this American movie? Guy was just really excited to say loony, I think.
All right, SWAT cops rush in and Detective Emerson we're introduced to. He's assessing the scene. I keep thinking back to Minority Report where they talk about an orgy of evidence. Have you seen Minority Report?
Oh, I love that movie.
You know when all the evidence is on the bed? And So Colin Farrell's like, this is an orgy of evidence. Maybe that's not the word.
Oh, my God.
But I feel like that's a word. And yeah, so I kept thinking that, like, there was so much evidence at the scene. I kept thinking, orgy of evidence.
This is an absolute pile of clues. Look at this thing.
It's fucking cum dripping.
Look at this slutty just slapping of clues. Got it all. That's insane.
They find the culprit pretty quickly because there's a fingerprint on the coin he used to pay for parking. The bullet casing was very, it was a hand-done one, so, pretty easy to try. I don't know how fucking guns work.
Handcrafted bullets.
We discussed, why would you make bullets? And bullets, like, you get 100 bullets for like 20 cents
so
in
many,
the US.
Right?
Weird.
Just get them like apples.
Yeah. They find him really quickly. He was a sniper in the US Army. His name is James Barr. When they get to his house, they find the van. They find, you know, him fast asleep. They find the equipment used to make the bullets. Like, it's, like I said, orgy of evidence. Everything just, they're real sloppy.
Game, set, and match.
They're like, open and shut. You know, Emerson is seen questioning James with the...
Oh, and James Barr is not Charlie.
No, yes. So they take a little while to reveal that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're showing the back of him and everything. And it wasn't until...
I actually got them very confused because they're just like...
He's like, white dude.
He's a white guy.
Yeah.
Whoa, this one's got a beard though.
I think that's why they chose, like, I say that now, but there's some more casting later that we realize. But, like, they've chosen to look similar, so they can trick us for the first little bit of the movie.
Oh, God me.
Emerson and the DA, Roden, basically trying to convince James to sign a confession, waive right to cancel, blah, blah, blah. And they give him a piece of paper to write his confession. He just writes, get Jack Reacher.
Like, in all caps.
In all caps. And they're like, who the fuck is this?
Oh, and we get this whole scene. I love this bit so much where you see in text and spoken out of her mouth, I think I counted 12 times the phrase Jack Reacher over and over again. Just a million times. And I thought it would be a continuing thing for the movie, but in just that one chunk, Jack Reacher, Jack Reacher, Jack Reacher, like Gabbo, Gabbo, Gabbo. Just slaughtered me.
So they talk about how he used to be, he's in the military, grew up in the military his whole life, and then became a military cop. I'm sure has a more technical name than that.
Mill cop.
Milk cop.
Milk cop. Milk cop. The milkiest of cops.
Oh, look how buttery he is over there, that milk cop. Yeah, they talk about his past, but how he 2 years ago just left and there's no trace of him, no license, no nothing. They know he's not dead because he sometimes withdraws from his pension, and that's all it is. And they're like, well, we need to find him. How do we do that? And Emerson's like, well, we can't. Like, you can only find him if he wants to find you. And the next minute, literally the next second, yeah. The secretary knocks on the door and goes, excuse me, is Jack Reacher here to see you? Shocked.
What? Did you...
So he immediately demands to see James, who has been beaten almost to death by other inmates. So Jack's like, why wasn't he in protective custody? And they're like, oops, we made a mistake. So because they're so sure that he's the killer, they purposely allowed it. So he got the shit beaten out of him, which if you're so confident, let him go to jail. Like, why? Because ACAB, I guess.
Yeah, just let's ignore some civil rights for a hot man.
Fuck, it's so awful. Like, even if you did that, don't let people get bashed up before they're fucking... American justice, yay.
Oh, and Jack Reacher loves justice so much.
Jack Reacher's like, appalling, I'm appalled. I'm off the grid and I'm fucking apeshit about this.
I live in the woods. I turn up when I want to. Oh, and only actually, I get to beat people up.
Well, yeah, only I may beat everyone inside and drink blood from a boot. We also, when they were talking about Jack Reacher, they showed like a montage of him. He obviously hooked up with a very sexy lady. You see her getting dressed, her butt. And then he like goes to an op shop, swaps his outfit he's wearing, a bit more of a Floridian outfit because he's in Florida. And then he swaps it for a more serious Pittsburgh outfit. And everywhere he goes, like the women are just like, oh.
Yeah, literally like just like three heads turning to see him as he walks
what's
in the room.
What's the anime noise? That's it. Yeah, he's turned up. He's seen the news about what's happened and they're like, well, why did your friend call you? And he's like, he's not my friend. Like, this dickhead.
He says so many times he's not my friend.
And they keep calling him, what about your friend?
He's like, I didn't invite him to my birthday. He's not my friend. Mum says he can't come over.
We meet Jack's attorney, which is the DA's daughter, Helen. She arrives and she's furious that they've been talking to her client and they're like, oh, he's in a coma. We haven't been. Mm. Also, this is Jack Reacher. She's like, what? The Jack Reacher? Why are you talking to him? They're like, no, he came to us. Like, bit of confusion. He keeps insisting, I'm not his friend. I just came to here to see this. Like, at one point, they're like asking all these questions and he goes, well, can I see some evidence? They're like, oh, no. And he's like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
He just walks out of there. And he has like, it's like, I know that there's a bus station over there. I can walk there in 24 minutes. Later, they're wigging out. And that's when Helen turns up and he allows Helen a little bit of time to have a quick chat before he catches the next bus out of there. He just says, I absolutely believe he's guilty. And, you know, goes off the record, like turns off her recording device to be like, okay, this is how I know him. In Iraq, he was a trained assassin. He was the kind of guy who joined the army because he wanted legal means to kill, but he, you know, fired 20,000 shots a week or whatever. And never.
Yeah, full montage of like joking. dickhead, but in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And he just never got the satisfaction of killing anyone or shooting anyone. So at one point when the war ended and they were being pulled out of Baghdad, he decided to put a big silencer on his giant sniper rifle.
Yeah, it's like a jumper too.
Yeah,
it's like, bro, you can't just put your jumper on a gun.
Well, apparently it worked. Maybe so effective. And he shoots for Americans. So they're not soldiers. They're contractors for the Defense Force. And he shoots them as they're coming out of a building. And, you know, you'd think he'd be in a huge amount of trouble because he kills them all. Mm. Except it turns out they were they were coming out of what is known as a rape rally,
mm-hmm.
which is where women are from ages 11 up to 50-something are brought in and men just...
Zoom in slow-mo. One of the guys was pulling up his zipper.
And I'm like, fucking punch him in the dick.
Get him. Shoot him. Shoot him so much more.
Shoot him around the penis 17 times.
Do the RoboCop dick shooting montage.
Exactly. Jack Reacher was the cop, the detective, whatever you call him, who, you know, found this a lot. He got a confession out of James. But when they realised what these guys had been up to, they realised, well, we don't want that coming out. So they actually kind of slipped under the rug and James never actually saw any time for it because it was such a messy, horrible situation. And Jack says, like, the more we've dug up, the worse it got. So it would have been much, much worse. So that is why he's still out. And that's why Jack absolutely believes that this guy did it. And his reason why he came back is because I told him if I ever saw him in the news for something like this again, I would come and I would kill him myself.
Yeah.
And that's literally why he's there, like, to deliver on this promise that he has.
Like, it seems like you came here to help your friend. He's like, no, I'm going to fucking kill him. I'm going to kill him so good.
Kill that fucking cunt so bad.
Oh man, he's so ready. Loves killing, by the way. We see him.
He loves killing. And let's just say at this point, we're starting to realize that Jack Reacher isn't a nice guy. Complete asshole. And
he's the worst. He's so rude in these conversations.
Yeah, just a jerk.
Keeps walking away, keeps touching people, keeps grabbing things.
Yeah, just.
Just grabs Helen a few times without asking. Yeah. Like, kind of like does a weird pseudo flirty thing in the first, like, first interaction and then is like, oh, what? And then just, like, walks away.
Yeah. He does it a couple of times. There's a couple.
Well, there's a couple of them.
So, yeah, this is the thing, reason why. Well, we'll get into this later. But, yeah, this is one of the reasons why I don't like this movie is because I just don't like this character of Jack Reacher.
He's
like,
a bastard,
he's
man.
A bastard. And, like, maybe there's a reason why he went off the grid because everyone's like, fuck off. You're such a douchebag. Even when he tries to justify it later, I'm still like, yeah, it
tosses. If he wasn't so good at karate, he would be in a jails.
Yeah.
So many jails.
Oh, yeah. So she sort of sows some seeds of doubt in him by saying, yeah, but remember, you just said that he admitted to it and confessed in Baghdad, but he wouldn't now. And he's like, yeah, because he's, you know, probably crazy. That's why he shot five people. It's like, yeah, but why would he say get you unless he had something, a good reason for it? And Jack's like, that's true. She was talking about the lead investigator having all this access to evidence. He's like, all right, who's that? And he's like, oh, he's about to get on the bus out of here. And he's like, ugh, fuck you. And just gets on the bus and leaves. But just before it goes, he gets off and spooks her just fucking turning up in front of a car.
He's just standing in front of a car. She nearly breaks both his legs because he's just standing in the middle of the car.
He might have done a Jumanji on the top. He basically sort of confronts her and is like, you know, this guy's a piece of shit. And like, I know why you're trying to prove a point. Like, she explains that her dad always wins cases because he takes on cases he can't lose. But I believe a lot of people have gone to jail for the wrong reasons. And yeah, so she's got a point to prove and everything. And he's like, I get it. But also, this guy's a piece of shit. But okay, yeah, reluctantly, I'll do it. On the condition that you go talk to the victims' families and find out as much as you can.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, as the defense?
Why did he do that?
I think it's because he thinks this guy's guilty and he wants to actually remind her what this guy did. But also any evidence she gleans from them might help the case, which it kind of does. Well, it actually does because we find out why the victims were shot, remember?
That's it. Ah, we get all the exposition.
Yeah.
So much exposition.
Exactly. So she goes to she's been going to a couple of the victims' families and she goes to one of the victims who she was like a 22-year-old nanny and she was there looking after this kid. She meets with the dad and the dad is really, really, really upset, obviously. But like he says, well, all the information you need is here. Hands her a newspaper and there's like a big gun.
Yeah, gun in the newspaper, classic.
Yeah, and she freaks out and he like tells her to sit down and like keeps sort of saying things that are a bit like big red flags and then she manages to run away.
You're gonna defend him, aren't you? And she's like, yeah, it's my job. And he's like, oh. He just keeps like being scary and weird.
Yeah, which any other time I'd be like, this man, like, you're a creep, but this time I'm like, I get it.
Very sad.
So she ends up running out in a panic because she realizes she's made this is a terrible thing and she's probably cursing Jack at this point. She runs into her dad, have a bit of an argument because he's like,
dad jump scare. Her dad just goes, boo!
She's like panicking, thinking she's going to be shot to death. Here, they have an argument and he's like warning her against doing this and like, this is really dangerous, which is true. Like, even though they obviously have a really bad relationship, he's like, you shouldn't do this. This is quite bad. Meanwhile, Jack's going and looking at the crime scenes. Like, he goes, you know, where people were shot, where the actual shooting happened, and where across at a bridge, which is implying that maybe they're looking and like, different angles.
He does a curious kind of like,
he just stands beside the road where there's no footpath, just like staying there.
Yeah, he's just, there's no room for him. Like, could be hit by a truck at any point.
Yeah.
Just looking off a bridge going, oh,
I see. Just prior to this, we introduced to a character, Lynxy. He's doing a money drop for something. He's like obviously a crime guy. And he gets a phone call and he's like, who the hell's Jack Reacher? And then you see him while Jack's doing this snooping around that he's following Jack to see what he's up to. So
yeah.
Setting it up like, what's going on here? Who's this extra party here? He also goes to have a look at the evidence at the police station with Emerson and is basically like,
I love this bit.
You've done a really good job. Like, there seems to be an open and shut case.
Damn fine police work. And he says it really pointedly.
Yeah.
And Emerson's like, what? And he's like, oh, could you remember for me right now the serial?
No, Emerson asks him,
yeah,
what's the serial? He says, you didn't take any notes. He's like, I don't need to. I'm fine. He's like, well, what's the serial number? And he's like, I don't know. What's the date on that coin that he used to pay for his parking? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, 1968. And he also asks, like, why do you think he paid for parking? I'm like, no, crazy muscle memory. Like, yeah. They say muscle memory a lot in this movie.
And he just looks at him. He's like, damn, fine police work. Flexes on him. He keeps flexing on everyone. Like, this dude's so insecure.
That's because he's a super military cop, remember?
He's milk cop.
Milk cop.
Just squirting A2 protein everywhere.
Ew. just nipple, what's it called? Breast milk. Milk cop.
Out of his front bits.
Yeah, those things.
His man mounts.
This bit I never quite understood. Jack goes to eat somewhere but chooses the busiest pub / nightclub in the fucking Pittsburgh.
By himself. And he's just sitting there like awkwardly by himself trying to eat.
His weird little booth. Like, it's fucking popping. And he's like sitting there, has his food and has his coffee. And like, yeah, you know, people who are paying lots of money for alcohol could probably use that booth, you fucking dick.
This is wrong menu, my dude.
He encounters a young woman who introduces herself as Sandy. And she's kind of flirting with him. She asks his,
He goes like, what's your name? She goes, Sandy. And he goes, Sandy. Yeah, I was Sandy at the beach.
She's like, huh? And he's like, I was in Florida. And I'm like, silly, stop it. She demands, so like, what's your name? And he gives this fake name, which as it turns out, he always gives fake names of like the second batsman for the Yankees.
Yeah, that's his second baser from 1920s.
Yeah.
This random like reference that, who's this for? Like, you check this reference in for your granddad?
Reading these books.
Oh, I know that second base. Very good reference.
What's clever? This is where I really cemented how much I fucking hate Jack Reacher as a person. He fobs her off. I couldn't afford you. She's like, I'm not a hooker. He's like, then I definitely can't afford you. And she's like, what do you mean? He's like, the cheaper a girl is, the more expensive they are. Like,
Jesus.
And then like, she's like, and all these guys turn up like, we're her brothers. What have you done? And she's like,
five brothers.
They called me a whore. He called me a whore. He's like, no, you said hooker. I was implying slut. And I'm like, can Tom Cruise never say the word slut ever again? Please?
Doesn't fit in his little baby mouth.
Later on, he says, that's what he says earlier about like, have you been so horny? I'm like, Tom Cruise, stop this language right now.
Slut, horny, slut, slut, horny.
I'll make my buttons on my machine. Slut, 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 horny. And when he says cunt and magnolia, cunt, 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 cunt.
Oh, God.
He's like, Tom Cruise!
Yawn.
Basically, they're summing him up for a fight. The way that, what's his name, Jack is sort of reacting to this is he knows that this is all phony baloney nonsense. Like, mm-hmm. The way she visibly reacted to his name not being what she expected it to be. But like, they go outside and he keeps warning him like, you know, you sure you want this? Because I'm going to bash the shit out of you and this is how I'm going to do it. And they're like, there's five of us and one of you. Anyway, he bashes the shit out of him.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Completely and utterly. He just destroys them.
Yeah.
And then immediately cops turn up. As he says, they were rolling before the fight even began.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the bit, my favorite bit is where he does this weird kind of like, kapah! Elbow straight up into this guy's jaw. And he goes, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. Yeah. And he helps the guy down to the ground. And then from behind, he kicks him in the nuts really hard.
Yeah.
And then we get told all through the movie how badly that has destroyed this man. Like, people keep asking if he's dead. Like, they say he's never going to have children. He's never going to walk again.
Yeah, probably went better walk again. I'm like, right in the fucking taint. Like, Jesus Christ.
Has destroyed this man's cajolies. Jack Reacher, justice! So much justice straight in his balls.
All the justice in the world straight into your fucking scrotum.
Was that Jeb?
Jeb, yeah.
Named character Jeb?
Poor old Jeb. So yeah, bashing the shit out of him. Please come. Oh, mate, Jack is busted. So is Jeb because he's fucking writhing around the ground, fucking dying in pain. Emerson and Helen get Jack out pretty much straight away because no one's willing to press charges, even though they would love to. So yeah, he's free to go. And he's like lying there all smugly on his bench like, but no one's pressing, are they? And like, no. He's like, guess I'll get out of here.
Because we got hired. We're goons. Sorry.
Jack tells Helen how he believes they were paid to beat him up, but he has no idea who would send them. And he's like, obviously, whoever's following me earlier has something to do with that. So let's...
What's he wearing at this point, Carl?
Oh, yeah. So they go back to his hotel room because Jack Reacher doesn't have any other clothes. And obviously, he worked up quite a sweat and a stink.
He's a homeless fucking drifter.
And so he says, so he washes his shirt in the sink. And so he's just standing there just flexing his big muscly body.
Yeah.
And at one point she's like, can you please put a shirt on? He's like, this is my shirt. And he's like, little raggy shirt. Also, this shirt was already raggy when he bought it from the op shop. Like, come on, dude.
He doesn't wash ever. He just buys new shirts. Where is his money? Like, what the? I have so many questions.
She also tells him about all the victims, all the stuff he found out. Like, because he says, so how'd you go today? She's like, well, probably as badly as you were expecting it to. And he's like, oh, are you okay? And she's like, you know, guess. She's all teary and stuff because it was kind of fucked.
Yeah.
What happened.
Then around this horrible.
And but also, apart from that, you know, the dad implying that he wanted to kill her, all the family's probably crying at her and telling her how their lives have been destroyed, which is probably fucking harrowing. But also, like, this is the thing, like, people like, how could you defend, like, someone has to defend this, but like, that's a basic human right, is that you go to court, justice has to be served, you get to be defended. Like, someone's got to do it. Don't be a cunt to them. Like, they, yeah, that sort of thing grinds my gears.
Absolutely. This movie implies, like, do people need to defend? I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
I'm just asking a question.
I don't know.
If no one asked the question, how do we know? Idiots. She goes through and talk, I won't go through it all now.
So much exposition, it's ridiculous.
But when she goes through it all, he's like, that's all great you told me, but like, I reckon those two individual people were actually having an affair. And she's like, what? He's like, why would he buy roses for his wife he's argued with in the morning? He'd buy them in the afternoon. And why was she buying a watch on with cash? Because she didn't want it to show up in the credit card statement when their anniversary is the next day. He's like, probably. And she's like, well, who cares? And he's like, I know, but this is just the thing. These are things that aren't going to be investigated. They might be. And it's, yeah, implied. Talking about one of the characters I won't go into just yet, who might be the reason why some of this stuff has happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the bit where with his no shirt on, he's like, you should go now.
Oh my God.
And then he just leans down right into her and he's shirtless, remember?
Inches away.
Very like provocatively. And she's like, oh, how dare you? But then he like just picks up the keys next to her and puts it in her hand and leans. Like, we know what you were implying there, Jack. Like, mm-hmm. you're trying to be a saucy bitch. Don't pretend that you... You couldn't have leaned way away from her and picked up the keys. Like,
or say, can I please have those keys?
Please! So we go back to Lingzi, the guy who was following Jack.
I love this scene so much. It's the best scene in the movie. Easy mode.
Oh, it was. So Charlie, which is Jai Courtney's character, the actual shooter, they're this Brookseal construction, which we have kind of seen little flashes. One of the characters who was killed. He goes and talks to Charlie. Lingzi goes and talks to Charlie. He hired five guys to take out Jack, which he thought would be enough, but obviously he underestimated this guy. And Charlie's like, well, any of them, did they know you? Like, were they connected to you? And he's like, one of them was the Jeb guy. But, you know, I sorted that out. Like, well, what? Where's his body? And they're like, I don't know. Chopped it up. And they're like, no, what if we needed the body? Now we've got a missing person. This is like so many loose ends. And meanwhile, there's a shadowy figure in the background, which is...
Oh, they're in the shadows.
And Lingzi is like, does not want to look at him because like obviously he has such a horrible, foul reputation that he's like, I don't want to look. No, I'm not looking. I'm not looking.
Yeah, yeah.
And eventually though, Avicelli is like berating him like, you were meant to be looking after this part of it. Where are the guys in the background? You fucked it up. And our mate, the Zek.
The Zek.
Comes out. And so when Werner Herzog has like a milky contact lens.
Oh, I love like a milk eye. He just naturally looks so evil.
It looks so perfect. I'm like, Werner Herzog, is this what his eyes look like? I actually don't know. Yeah, basically to tell him how badly he's stuffed up. And then he goes on to this spiel talking about, and I'm going to turn to their voice.
Dude, you got it.
When I was a little child.
You got it.
Now I'm doing the Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're watching Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff. When I was a little child, I wore the coat of a dead man. Can you do it?
I don't know if he can, like, not whisper. He's always whispering.
Yeah, that's it.
when I was a child, I wore one dead man's coat. And there's something about how he had his hand in the coat.
There was a hole in the pocket, and then he got frostbite. And
in
then
Siberia.
He's in one prison.
Hand's fucked from cold.
Frostbite. So he bit off all the fingers so they wouldn't turn gangrenous. And then he bit the other one, two on the other hand off to avoid going to the sulfur mines.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucked up childhood. But I don't quite know how that's relevant. But he basically uses that story and says, okay, Lingxi, prove to me, we'll do anything to prove yourself and to survive.
Bit your fingers, little bitch boy.
Little bitch. Bite your fingers off. And because the guy's like, okay, can I have a knife? He goes, did I have a knife in Siberia?
It's so good. It's so good.
And so Lingxi tries to bite his thumb. Like,
you said that, oh,
why your thumb? Oh. Why would you start your thumb? Like, work it up from your little finger, you twit. He can't do it, obviously, because that's fucked. But I mean, of course, if you thought you were going to die, you'd probably give it more effort than like.
I think like a Band-Aid. Like just right off. Just instead of putting it in your mouth and like really.
I think that's strong. I don't know.
I think back in samurai times, they would chomp off their whole tongues as a way of suicide because you go, and then all the blood comes out and you die instantly.
As someone who had their first proper blood nose today in their life, because my extra long nails accidentally poked myself up my nose and it fucking pissed out. It was actually pretty cool. Like that, but that was like, I was like so much blood and that was just like a little tiny little nick.
Just like my Japanese animes. Saw some boobs.
Yeah, like just the thought of that makes me, yeah. I know that I would probably rather be shot than have to bite my own fingers off. But also, like I said, I got fuck off now. I got to like chew around my nails.
You don't want to ruin the perfect look. You want that finger to be perfect when you bite it off.
Oh, shit.
I love that.
And so, because he can't do it, Charlie shoots him and they're like, all right, we must continue our work.
They always take the bullet.
They are all big wusses.
11 herbs and spices, finger licking good.
What a wonderful character.
Incredible. What's up for the Zek? The sequel should be just the Zek.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
What's he up to? I am an old man.
Oh, he is just
an old
man.
With an old coat. When you're talking to his grandchildren, they're like, oh, here we fucking go with the old dead man's coat shit
and
again.
A pocket full of dreams.
So Helen gets the credit card information that Jack requested a bit earlier of James. So Jack requested like credit card info, like find out if he's got friends, what he does, if he goes to strip clubs, whatever, shooting ranges. All she can get is the credit card transactions. And all he does is buy groceries and petrol. She's like, well, there's nothing here. And he's like, well, he always fills up on Saturdays and Sundays. And he seems to do a lot of driving on the weekend. Could he be going to a shooting range? Can you find out any shooting ranges? And he has all these specs that someone who's a sniper would probably need. Mm. And she's like, why do I need that? And he's like, yes. Do it. I'm Jack Reacher. Don't even forget about it.
I'm so good at detecting. I'm a homeless
man. I'm not
going to
fucking explain it. Just fucking do it. I'm Jack Reacher. She drops him off at the auto parts store. So when Sandy was flirting with him and he insinuated that she was a sex worker, she's like, I just work at the auto parts store.
The auto parts store.
So, you know, Helen's like, what do you mean the auto parts store? He's like, no, no, no. She didn't say a auto parts store. She said the. So she knows exactly which one. Is there one of them around? No. We don't have the auto parts store. This is Pittsburgh. This isn't, you know, Ipswich where... There's like one or two. And also I can think of like five auto parts store in Ipswich. So anyway, I don't think that reads that well. But anyway.
Yeah.
So he goes there, finds Sandy at work, like goes through her boss who is a bit useless.
Yeah.
And like she goes in there, she's like, ah, shit, I'm fucked. And but luckily Jack, though he seems to be a giant piece of shit, also doesn't just bash up young girls for no reason. She explains that she was paid $100 to lure him, Jeb, who everyone does what he says because he works at the auto parts store but is actually a crystal meth guy.
I'm a meth man. Same sound, still works.
Some excellent scatting there.
Thank you.
So she was told that he was a creep and that she was going to lure him to come with her and grope her and then they would bash him up because he was a perv. You know, she's all apologetic and everything and that she's like, I just have to do what Jeb says. And
that's what girls like me do.
Yeah. She gives him Jeb's address. He takes her car. He's like, I'm going to take your car. He's like, that's not my car. That's Jeb's. And he's like, well, I guess I'll be returning it to him promptly, won't I? And then as he's leaving, because apparently, like I said, women can't stop fucking swooning around him. She's like,
Jesus.
I get off at 6. You want to go catch up? And he's like, just leave town for a bit, please. Would you just be safe? And so I wrote, she asked him out, lol. So he goes to Jeb's house, which is a piece of shit house. An older woman is sitting at the front and she's all spaced out. Looks like she's got like drug paraphernalia around her. So he says like, I've got a warrant, and realizes she's out of it and just goes in, except she's not out of it. And she, under her blanket, she's like presses. Remember the old Nokias where you just hold a button in, that like a speed dial? Yeah, she does that. So she obviously calls someone to say, some fucking bastard's here.
Yeah.
He's looks snipping around the house. One of the main things he noticed in the bathroom, there's no shower curtain, and there's actually remnants of a shower curtain, like it's been pulled off really roughly. And he's like, that's sus. And he goes,
Tom Cruise finds Tom Clues. Okay. It's a bad joke.
And I love it. Yeah, we see a red car racing to the house while he's doing sort of investigating all this stuff. He goes to make a phone call, but then decides not to and wipes the phone down, which is when he goes back in the bathroom to inspect the curtain, and these two fucking bumbling thugs come in.
Wow. This weird scene. Three Stooges out of nowhere. We get these two guys with two big, like a baseball bat and a crowbar.
Yeah.
And they just go, oh, whack! And they whack into the door frame where his head kind of is. And he gets a boom.
Yeah.
Wallops.
But then they just don't hit him again because they keep like both trying to come in the bathroom at the same time and like
literally
bouncing around the door.
Like,
yeah.
Yucky.
And then they like keep missing and hitting, and because I love close quarters fight scenes, like in Night and Day when they're fighting on the airplane and like stuff like that. I love that. Like a lot of Mission Impossible stuff. Really fun. Like it's really clever. And this was just like, wasn't even a fight scene. He was just like hiding in the bathtub while they're like boom, 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 smashing and then like glass going everywhere. Absolutely fucking hopeless.
Yeah. There's a bit where he like makes eye contact with the eye and he's like, I'm doing it. Like I like got a speaking rock and congratulations.
You did it, guy. He basically bashes him up really well. And he, the ultimate way of bashing him is the big bald guy uses his head to smash the other guy's head.
He fell out of my chair just then. Yeah, like I feel the guy could just flex his neck, not have Tom Cruise use his head to smash the other guy's head.
He's a big dumb fool though, so I guess he's like, why do I stop this?
I got the old case of jiggle necks. Not my jiggle neck, my weakness.
Hey, old jiggle necks. There's another third guy turns up with a gun. It's one of the weedy guys who was trying to bash him up the other night. Immediately disarms him and finds out Jeb is actually missing. And they're like, they're kind of a bit worried because he would never leave his mum. Bit strange. And obviously with the shower curtain missing, Jack's kind of figuring it out. He takes that guy's car. He's like, I didn't steal your car, did I? He's like, no, take it as long as you want. So he gets another fucking sweet muscle car. Because Sandy's car was a muscle car.
I feel this is a lot of insight into how he's been operating in his whole life.
Yeah.
He just beats people up and says, I didn't beat you up.
And I didn't steal your car. They're like, oh no. The mouth of the blood and teeth. Jack later tells Helen that he actually believes that the crime scene was too great. Like it's his words, is this crime scene was too great, like it was perfect. And that I actually have changed my mind. I now think that James was actually a patsy. That's why he asked me. It's not that he did it and, you know, thought I could get out of it. He's gone, I didn't do this. And the only person who's going to figure this out is the guy who got me the first time. Helen obviously thinks he's nuts because it's such a huge, big like change around. Her excuse is like, you're some crazy guy who just, you know, is off the grid and blah, blah, blah. Can't believe I believed you, which is not a good reason not to believe someone. Mm. But also he like waxes lyrical about how, you know, look at these people in that building over there. Their lives suck ass and I don't have to live like that.
I don't suck ass. I don't eat ass ever.
And we're like, we know, Jack, we know.
I only give Jack reach arounds.
You have been zinging the reach.
Wow.
Right. After waffling on, he then says, actually, can you also run the plates of that Audi that's been following me all day that's downstairs? Mm-hmm. She does that. Charlie, they must have, I don't know how this all works, but Charlie's like, oh, they're checking our plates. We better peel out of here.
And then the guy who's driving next to him starts looking at his thumb like, oh no, my thumb. I gotta eat my thumb.
I gotta eat my fucking thumb. Doesn't matter now because if they're running your plates, they know who you are. So everyone's useless in this fucking game.
Mm.
Helen starts to accept Jack's theory, especially when they actually look up who the Audi belongs to. Liebenhauer Industries, who are actually like currently involved in a lawsuit against the construction company that was, I can't even remember what the fuck it's called. What's the construction company called?
Auden.
Brookseal Construction.
Oh, not even close.
Basically, what we found out earlier was Oline Archer. She was the second victim. She was marching up with all the paper. That's why we saw the Brookseal Construction on the letterhead on the paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
So her husband owned it. He was like really struggling with it because they had lawsuits from this Liebenhauer Industries. Yeah. So he ended up dying in fact from a heart attack from all the stress of it. And she was like so keen to get rid of the business. business, but then she sort of had a last minute change of heart and decided to keep it. When she got shot, she was actually on her way to get a loan so she could not only keep the business but also fight the lawsuit. And they're kind of like, oh, this is a big coincidence that, you know, you're being followed by someone from that company, and all the puzzle pieces are falling together.
Mm-hmm.
So Rachel is like really keen to find who the real killer is, but Helen says, like, it's not my job. I'm not a cop. Like, I've got to get my client off the throw. And
she's like, you are also not a cop.
Yeah. Please stop copping around. Jack Reacher, do what I want. Bashes things as he leaves.
Yeah. And during this conversation, he keeps grabbing stuff. He picks up the phone that starts ringing. He hands her the phone. He grabs the phone off her. He grabs her by the arm.
Rude.
The rudest man alive.
We cut to Sandy. She hasn't left town like Jack requested because, you know, she's, why would you listen to this random man who comes in and harasses you at work? And you're like, guess I better leave town for 3 days. Mm. No, she's going out to the pub with her friends again. And she's wearing a great outfit and she has a banging bod and good on her. Mm-hmm. Except that Charlie runs into her and fakes that he knew her, had that like a hookup with her at some point and knows it through someone else. And she's like, oh yeah, we must have been really wasted. Basically another bad guy snuck up behind her. Charlie just fucking sucker punches her really hard in the face.
So hard. She's like out.
Out. But then out. To make sure the job is finished, he actually puts his hand over her face and suffocates her. They're obviously setting up that she's been punched to death.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal, that poor girl.
As a Brazilian jiu-jitsu, let me just Joe Rogan this whole situation. He just puts his hand over her nose and mouth and just holds it there. I'm like, what?
Is that?
What do you mean?
If you got a big enough hand, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's wild. You can't just, and that takes so long. That would take like a long time to kill someone.
Like 5 minutes. Like,
and there's like people around, right?
Yeah. So he's like, I'm just like, patting her face.
Yeah, just shh, just try to die, please. For me. I don't know how to choke people. I'm sorry. They didn't teach me in killer class.
My big hand, just do it, smush in the face.
Oh no, I got D minus on choking. Choked on my choke exam.
And they're basically setting it up that they want Jack to be blamed for this, because who recently has been done for like punching people out really and injuring them with very little hitting?
Mm-hmm.
Jack Reacher. So while all that's happening, Helen lets Jack know that she actually found a shooting range that fit his specifications perfectly in Ohio, which is like a few hundred miles away, you know, has the perfect place where you can actually practice sniper shooting, because I guess a lot of them don't. That's a lot of land that you need to use a sniper rifle, right?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so that's why he wasn't just going to the one around the corner, because
it's a special sniping range.
Yeah. Jack warns her to be careful because obviously as a lawyer anyway, she's going to be under the spotlight. But also like all this dodgy shit's happening and now they've got all these reason to believe this isn't what they think happened, did not happen. And so now she's really high risk and tells her to be careful. And she's like, oh, forget about it. I'm fine. And I had to look after myself. And I'm like, no, like you let Jack just saunter into your life. Like,
yeah. Whoa. Waving his red flag.
Yeah. Just a fucking 10,000 red flag. Right in your face. She's like, this is fine. Like getting hit in the head with a red flag.
That's so funny.
All right, we're about to hit one of the really big action scenes.
Oh, yeah.
That's to say involves zoomy cars.
A brum!
But we have been talking for a while, and we have much to discuss, including the big finale. So
who done it?
Who did it? The Zek who? So we're going to leave it there. As per usual, it's a two-parter because I don't know how to not talk about 1,000 things whenever I do this damn podcast.
Oh, no, you enjoy time with your friends?
I love my friends!
You fool!
So before we go, Nick, anything you'd like to plug right now?
Oh, yeah. Get me to paint your minis. It's my weird hobby. I'm Left Hand Pooch on Instagram. I will paint any mini. No size too big, except for maybe a house.
Maybe the size of Jack Reacher's big pec muscles.
Oh, his big man mounts.
Jack, may I please paint your giant man mounds, please?
Yeah, I'll body paint Tom Cruise. He would have to ask me, though. I wouldn't approach him.
No. It'd be weird. You're like, excuse me, Tom Cruise, do you need your man mounds painted?
Yeah. This is very context. You didn't need a conversation before this.
No. Oh, you don't listen to Kara's podcast? Oh, I see. Okay, let me explain myself. shit. Well, as for my podcast, as per usual, it is Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review, no S on the end, on the Twitter, and TomCruiseReviews.com for everywhere else. Please like, review, subscribe, all that sort of shit on your preferred podcast platform. It really means a lot to me. And we're going to be back next week with the stunning conclusion to our review of Jack Reacher.
Oh, yeah. Brum Brum's coming up, baby.
Brum, yeah. All right, we'll catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.